We'll call the meeting back to order. Last item for today, like I said, I hope Mark's feeling better, but we're glad to have Emmett pinch hit for him to talk about the animal, or excuse me, the annual wildlife damage management report. So,
thanks, you. Welcome, thanks, Emmett. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Secretary Roebling, glad to be here and provide a little update on this last year's animal damage control program, talking about both our animal damage control and our wildlife damage program in concert. Thought it might be just good for some of the commissioners who have more recently been appointed to give a little history about the program. The department's actually been engaged in wildlife damage control and management since 1939. We didn't operate our own program at that time, but the legislature actually directed the department to be engaged in agreements with the, at that time it was the Bureau of Biological Survey. It was kind of the precursor to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and so our department entered into an agreement with them that lasted up until about 1974 to conduct those animal damage control efforts, primarily on predators and nuisance animals at the time. Game animal damage didn't actually become an issue for us until the 70s and 80s, where our deer populations and lots of other populations like Canada geese continued to grow, and we found ourselves in a situation where trying to keep enough wildlife on the landscape to satisfy hunters, but not cause undue damage for our landowners out there. So that has always been the balance that we sought. The department took over the animal damage control portion of the program in 1974. That program was transferred, like I say, from Fish and Wildlife Service to the Department of Game, Fish and Parks. And at that time, the legislature provided a funding mechanism for that effort. They actually assessed a tax against the county general funds across the state, where the counties at that time provided about $300,000. And this was an assessment made against the number of livestock in the county. Again, the assessment wasn't made to the individual producers. It was made to the county general fund. And then those dollars were matched one-to-one with the Department of Game, Fish and Parks license fees. So that made a total of about $600,000 a year. Later on, that match was raised to 2-to-1, so now it's our match is $600,000 for the animal damage control program. Then, of course, our partnership with, at the time, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, that program then transferred over to USDA APHIS Wildlife Services, and so we've been cooperating in partnership with APHIS Wildlife Services really since that program was transferred over. And they've been a partner ever since, and continues to this day. We have supplemented those ADC dollars with a couple of efforts through the legislature. We provided for a license surcharge and an assessment of the transaction fees that we have with licenses. So we take in about $1.4 million annually for our ADC program. So that's a pretty sizable amount of dollars. In addition to that, we've had an ongoing partnership with first, the Department of Agriculture, now Danner, and they also provide an annual amount of money, I think around $300,000 to supplement that program. So approximately $1.7 million on the ADC side. As I said, the game animal damage issues didn't really start to become a major issue until the late 70s, early 80s. A lot of our populations of deer, antelope, Canada geese especially began causing damage on properties, and so the legislature saw fit to provide us another funding mechanism for that program. It was a combination program where it was a license surcharge. Was it license surcharge, or what did we call that? That one. I think it was. That right. Yeah, it was a license surcharge, generated about $1.7 million. So half of that went to provide hunter access, and half of it went to help manage the wildlife damage program. And we'd put together a work group at the time to help us prioritize and decide where those funds should be best expended, and So the program has continued to grow since that time, and again, like the ADC fund, we've also supplemented those dollars with using funds from the special buck licenses, and then we've had some additional opportunities to grow the dollars that come in for that that program too through license transaction fees and surcharges. So that program, I think we take in about $1.5 million now. So altogether, you know, we're probably slightly over $3 million in terms of revenue for those programs. So pretty sizable. And so just want to provide that background. I think the producers have really appreciated the services that have been developed by our staff over the years. A lot of them are proactive in nature. We'll go out and work with producers on fencing. Our deer stackyard program is a primary example of some of the good work we do on elk. We work on cable fencing, those kinds of things. Of course, with Canada geese, a lot of it's temporary fencing. We issue kill permits and so forth. But it's a very comprehensive program, and I think hopefully the producers are satisfied. We continue to make improvements to the program and talk a little bit about some of that as we get going here. So. All right, just give you a little idea of the distribution of staff across the state. We've got 27 wildlife damage specialists in the field. In addition, we've got a kind of a specialized wildlife damage specialist, a houndsman, and an individual that works with our municipalities in the Black Hills on wildlife damage issues. Most recently, we've added some field supervisor positions, and I think they've been really helpful in terms of providing oversight and support to our staff in the field. There's some 8 wildlife damage specialists out in Region 1 in western South Dakota. We've got 7 in the central part of the state in Region 2, and each of the 2 regions in the southeast and northeast have 6 staff that are focused on wildlife damage in addition to the field supervisor position. So all in all, I think a great program effort. It is one of our bigger programs in the department, and we're like I say, proud of the ongoing work that our staff do to look for ways to improve our services as well. You probably recall in 2019, we did a wildlife damage program review. We worked with the Wildlife Management Institute to conduct that review and I think developed a number of different ideas and ways that we can improve our services. Primarily, our goal was to increase our transparency so that both producers and sportsmen and women understood what it was that we were doing with our wildlife damage program. But more importantly, our focus was, again, on our customers, the folks that are experiencing damage with wildlife. Fostering relationships with landowners and enhancing communications, a second priority for us. It goes hand in hand with what some of our conservation officers have done over the last number of years as well. And then goal 3 was to mitigate livestock and property loss through effective delivery of our wildlife damage program services. So really more of a comprehensive program today than 2 separate programs, but the funding does come in the 2 separate programs, but it's a total team effort. And then in addition to our wildlife damage specialists, oftentimes our conservation officers, our habitat specialists, our new private lands field staff, they've been assisting too when we get those tough situations where it's sort of an all hands on deck during those tough winters. We do have 2 contract pilots that the department works with in addition to the program that APHIS Wildlife Services provides to us today. They provide a plane and a pilot and gunner, and then the department actually funds an additional plane, and we provide a pilot, and I think APHIS provides that pilot and gunner for that second aircraft as well. So those two airplanes, along with our contract pilots, I think have really helped fill the gap in providing the kinds of aerial control services, especially for predators like coyotes. We've developed an onboarding and training program for our staff resulting from that strategic plan and review. We've developed a customer satisfaction survey that was shared with you, I think, last year, year before. Regarding the responses of our producers. Over the last couple of years, we've really worked to prioritize our predator control activities, that time period between February 1st and June 15th, prior to those lambs and calves hitting the ground. And I think that's had a real substantial benefit. Again, to sort of help backfill when those WDS staff are so focused on ADC work, we've had other staff that have stepped up and helped out as well. We've developed some new apps and online forms. We've got an M44 app that helps our staff track where they place M44s out in the field. They're called coyote getters, and they are an important tool that staff use under certain circumstances. You can't use them every place, but they do provide an important tool for us to help control coyotes, in addition to snares and traps and shooting, calling, all kinds of other things that we do in addition to the aerial program. We've also developed an online goose depredation website where people can go in and actually file a request for service. And then in addition to that, it allows them to purchase their kill permits if their landowner interested in utilizing a kill permit that's been made available to us through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And they can also then report their kills back on that same website. So it's a real time saver and I think an added convenience for our producers. Just looking at some of the specific expenditures that were made over the years here on WDM, be specific here, elk expenditures sort of topped the list at just shy of $400,000. A lot of those dollars are expended for contracts not for payment for damages, but to compensate for landowners for losses with in some of those pasture areas and so forth, and recognize the impacts that those elk herds can have. But also they buy hunter access, and so managing the wildlife populations along with the damage itself has been a key to the success of this program over the years, and will continue to be for many years to come. Beaver, another primary issue that we deal with, along with Canada geese, right there in that $300,000 range. Deer, this last year, not a lot of deer depredation issues, so that's on average probably a little bit lower than what we would see, but we haven't had a tough winter here for the last couple, and maybe we'll have a little change coming up here this winter. But anyway, about $1.6 million, again, in expenditures, with over 26,000 hours of work by our staff to focus on the wildlife damage side of business. On the ADC side, of course, coyotes are always the primary focus of the efforts of our damage specialists and trying to protect calves and lambs and even ewes in a lot of cases out there on the landscape. But coyotes are never-ending challenge for us, as you might imagine. I kind of describe it like taking a scoop of corn out of a 20,000 bushel storage bin, and take one scoop out and they fill back in about that amount of time. So it'll continue to be an ongoing issue for us and on into the future, but it's been a great partnership, and I think there's a great amount of appreciation that's shown by our producers out there for our efforts. Aerial hunting, part of that coyote control effort. They do take a few fox now and then, but mostly focused on coyotes. Prairie dogs be number three there in terms of the work that's done. Again, those funds, in large part over the years, have come through that partnership with our own Department of Agriculture, now called Danner. And it's been an ongoing effort where we try and preclude encroachment of prairie dogs from public lands onto private lands. We work with the BLM primarily, but our own school and public lands folks as well to help reduce those encroachments onto private land. And I think this year, as you'll see in a later slide, that continues to increase. So, and that, you know, varies from year to year. Again, our total ADC expenditures last year, about $2 million. Over 37,500 hours work, so a huge effort on the part of our staff. Just in terms of the overall expenditures between the two efforts. You know, again, ADC focused on predators, wildlife damage focused on more game animal damage. Certainly a difference in the western part of the state versus the eastern part of the state. In the Region 1 area, a lot of focus on ADC in an ongoing fashion. But, you know, during certain times of the year, and of course when you're working with big game animals, always some issues there on an annual basis. But so both Regions 2 and 1 and 2 have primarily been focused on ADC. But Regions 3 and 4, maybe a little more balanced effect. And then in Region 4, with the amount of Canada goose damage, and then they do suffer probably a greater amount of annual deer depredation challenges on an annual basis. So, you know, their efforts are probably on the, a little heavier on the wildlife damage program side. In terms of the overall request for program services, you kind of see the distribution of effort for our wildlife damage program. Meade County and Day County, a couple of hot spots there, more than likely for deer and Canada geese. Again, a lot of requests for services from this program, 2,985 requests where we assisted with 2,000 landowners. So, and of course this map changes depending on the weather and depending on you know, the issues that are out there, and of course our wildlife populations drive our work to the, a great extent as well. In terms of predator control, spent about just shy of $1.4 million on predator control, responded to over 1,300 requests for services, working with 831 landowners. You can see the number of coyotes removed over the last two or three years is been amongst some of the highest in the last 22 years. So it's still an ongoing effort, and again, using all the tools that are available to us in addition to our aircraft, working with our USDA Wildlife Services and contract partners. It's a lot of work gets done out there, and there's a lot of need for the kind of services that are provided. Just a longer-term graph, you know, since 2001, kind of depicting some of the expenditures since that time, probably over $50 million in total expenditures just on predator control. Kind of hit a peak here over the last 3 years, so again, our work on coyotes continues to be a big issue. Mentioned our aerial predator control program, our partnership with USDA Wildlife Services. They provide the two primary aircraft. GFP actually funds that second aircraft, but Wildlife Services provides the pilot and gunner for those planes, and it's been a great partnership over the years. I might mention that for many years, South Dakota was just one of probably two or three states across the nation that actually managed its own wildlife damage program or animal damage control program. A lot of them had more of a USDA presence where USDA staff actually did the direct control work. In our state, it's always been our state staff with Game Fish and Parks that have done the work, and we're proud of that effort and the partnerships and relationships we formed with our producers as a result of that work. So again, our contract pilots generally fly about 300 hours for us at a cost of about $110,000 annually. We also partner with our predator control districts. In state statute, predator control districts are able to formulate a district. They can conduct a self-assessment. There's a vote that takes place and a number of different things that have to be followed through the statute to develop a predator control district. But they've also been extremely good partners in a lot of areas of the state and have assisted producers in those areas with additional predator control work. In terms of overall numbers of coyote and fox removed, this graph shows a total of 9,000 animals taken. You know, GFP through our ground efforts and so forth, a little over 4,000. Aerial control, 2,800. Predator control districts had taken 835. Our contract pilots, a little over 800. And then our permitted pilots across the state that we work with took another 230 animals. So, again, a comprehensive approach even to our aerial predator control program. And, again, trying to use all the tools and techniques and tactics that are in place to be successful out there. This sort of thunderstorm map, I think, provides a good depiction of sort of where, at least over the last year, that our predator control efforts have been focused, kind of up in north-central South Dakota, up in McPherson and Edmonds County. Got some pretty bright dots out there in Meade County and Butte County as well. Harding County is in Perkins County have always been traditionally challenging areas, as has the area south and west of Hot Springs there. But a few dots over there in the eastern part of the state, you know, in northern Hyde especially. But we've also in my region got a particularly challenging area there in Girald and southwest Beadle County. Beaver control, sometimes we don't think about beaver as being an animal that causes a lot of damage. I mean, they certainly are beneficial in providing water. But even in years like last couple where we've had more dry weather, of course, that just makes the beaver a lot busier. they're trying to make more water, and it gets to be a little more challenging for them, but they are busy beavers. And so staff, especially in the eastern half of the state, do focus a lot of the efforts on beaver control. Again, about $317,000 this last year, but in FY21, a little wetter and a little more challenging, $430,000 were expended. So a big portion of the effort that our wildlife damage staff make out in the field. We removed almost 1,500 beaver, but assisted about 400 landowners this past year. The previous year, 527 landowners. But again, you can see in that lower right-hand corner, the thunderstorm map kind of depicts the beaver-focused areas. And in my region down in the southeast, it's a real high level of work with the rivers, Big Sioux and some of the tributaries emptying into the Big Sioux down there. Really are challenging for staff, and then all up and down that eastern tier of counties on the eastern side there. Prairie dogs, again, I mentioned earlier the sort of the fluctuating numbers depending, you know, on the acres that are infested and the encroachment acres. And a lot of times it's a factor of disease in the whether the prairie dog are being infected with plague. But we've seen a growth over the last couple of years in terms of requests for service from FY20 from 65 all the way up to this past year, 127. The peak on this chart, anyway, shows about 208 back in 2010. So a fair amount of expenditures to assist producers with those prairie dogs that are encroaching. And we, again, try to continue to improve the program with that increase in requests for services. We actually worked with an additional contractor this past year. Staff in the western part of the state have been hearing some pretty good efforts or pretty good reports about our efforts, so we're having an impact. We continue to work with the U.S. Forest Service on the National Grasslands and School and Public Lands and BLM for some control from their properties too, but all in all, I think we've been pretty successful. Again, there actually is a online reporting system for prairie dog requests for service as well. And if you're looking for information on all of our programs, if you go to the Game Fish and Parks website and click on the landowners button bar on the far upper right corner, you'll find that information. Deer requests for service down somewhat, you know, from traditional efforts. Again, very weather dependent in terms of the efforts we make. But again, Butte County and Meade County, some pretty substantial efforts there in a number of locations. And That's been kind of an ongoing effort. Deer will yard almost every winter, but gets to be extra severe when, of course, we have really deep snowfalls and extra cold temperatures. And in working with our producers, I've been working with landowners on deer depredation since my first year as a conservation officer in 1983, and it's been a challenge, you know, in a lot of those years where we had some really, really tough winters, and But our staff continue to look at ways to be more proactive. You know, we do have panels, again, the Stackyard program. We oftentimes will utilize food plots and other things to, where we got a historic damage problem. But we also, where necessary, we'll actually put out feed piles to lure deer away where necessary. It's kind of a tool of last resort because in congregating deer, there's always a potential you can spread disease as well. So that's not always our first preference. But again, assisted about 88 landowners this last year. Canada Goose requests for service. In our region, we were down just due to drought primarily. We had fewer geese nesting and having successful nests this past couple of years. Day County and Clark County still a lot of issues up there with Canada geese. And of course, during the molt stage, when those birds are out in those wetlands, they walk up into the soybean crops and damage those soybeans. And it's pretty substantial, as Rob can attest, up in Day County and in that country. Continues to be an issue. And yet I think, you know, our programs are getting a lot of accolades, I think, from our landowners. You know, we're still not able to totally satisfy everybody, but we do our best. But we hire seasonal staff that help us during that time period from May through August and get some actual field experience in dealing with producers. And I think it's overall a very great way to get those people understanding the importance of working with landowners. In terms of Canada geese removed, our total number of geese that were taken this last year, 835. Previous year, over 2,000. We issued just 424 permits this last year. What we find with these kill permits, landowners are somewhat reluctant to use them. They use them sort of, on a small scale, I guess I would say. A lot of times they're shooting at the birds and just hazing them. But sometimes they'll shoot one, maybe two birds out of a flock, and that helps deter them and keep them out of those fields till we can get out there with a temporary fence. Elk requests for service, again, focused primarily down in the southwest corner of the state in Black Hills, getting a few complaints up there in the Harding County area. We've got a growing prairie elk herd, of course, down in Bennett County as well. Requests for service, 123. But again, we work with landowners on hayland food plot contracts and cable fencing. Those of you that watched elk go over a fence, they always drag their hind legs and take down the top two wires of the fence. And so oftentimes those cable fence installations can really help landowners. It's pretty frustrating for landowners, I think, to go out there time and time again to have to rebuild that top two wires on their fence. So anyway, the damage report for 2022 is still in progress. We've got a draft report out. I've got it compiled, and it should be on our website fairly soon. The idea, again, is we want to provide a statewide perspective on the overall efforts we make, both on AEC and wildlife damage. I want to be very transparent in what services we provide and what the costs are. Again, this will be on our website and likely be out and available here and accessible here in December yet. So we utilize a lot of times we'll take this to legislature as well. So with that, stand by for any questions.
Thanks, Emmett. That's a great report. I know that there's a lot of people that, especially this time of the year going in, you're starting to gear up for calving and whatnot, making those plans at our WDM program and our state trappers and those folks get to be real popular. So yeah, appreciate that update on that. Does anybody have any questions for Emmett? Commissioner Spring.
Commissioner Spring here. I was going to ask on, you know, the deer deal that we set up back in the 90s. It was half of the $5 went to walk-in areas.
Yep.
The other half went to help the landowners with Hayyard program and other things. I see where, you know, the goose numbers or the damage is up on them. Is there money coming from goose license, waterfowl license to help out with that, or is it all left to the big game money.
Through the chair. Commissioner Spring, the primary source of funding, as I mentioned earlier, was that assessment, which is about $850,000, comes to us as part of that overall $1.7 million that's assessed. In addition to that, of course, we utilize the special buck license funds, which I think amounts to about $400,000 or a little over $400,000 annually. And then we have added a couple of additional dollars through that pot through transaction fees and also a surcharge. So, you know, of the $1.5 million that's available, you know, most of it does come on the big game side. There haven't been specific, you know, although, you know, with the license transaction fees and the surcharge, those do in part come from all hunting licenses, whether it's small game or waterfowl. But principally, you know, comes from that $850,000, which was intended to be comprehensive, I think, and apply to all game damage. But the special buck dollars, that $400,000 probably is more focused on the big game side. But we've not had any issues with, you know, following through and providing the kinds of services necessary with any of our producers, whether it's on the Canada Goose side or the deer side. You know, with the deer especially, we're able to be a little more proactive with the Stackyard program, and we now have kind of gone into what we call both a temporary and then contract panels that we can actually take haul panels out that producers can move around the yard, you know, if they got a hay pile or they're grinding hay or they're got some a corn pile, say, that they want to protect, you know, that's flexible, whereas the Stackyard program is, you know, once you build that, it's in one place. And but we find a lot of producers over the years will actually build a couple of Stackyards with us over time. I don't think there's been any issues with the budget. I think we're still tracking pretty good. Thankfully, you know, things kind of ebb and flow as they do, and some years deer depredation's high, and other years it's Canada geese. But we don't really have, to my knowledge, any issues with funding. So I think we're able to cover it.
Also, if the counties kick in more money, is it gonna hurt the F&P budget to keep doubling? Say, for instance, bringing in $300,000. If a guy got the counties to kick in $500,000,
yep,
would Game and Fish be able to still double that? Or
through the chair and yeah, Tom, go ahead.
Commissioner Spring, Tom Kirsch from Wildlife Division Director. Should that be the case and that happen, yes, we would be able to meet that 2-to-1 match that's required in current state statute.
Okay.
As Emmett was talking about even right now, whether we look at our WDM program or the ADC program, if we have that many requests for service and those dedicated funding sources don't meet the overall revenue demand, then we utilize license dollars to go in and help meet and fit the demand that's being requested of those services. So bottom line is, yes, we would be able to cover that.
And, you know, most of the producers I've talked to in quite an area say that we killed a lot of coyotes. You guys did a super job last year. Meade County, you killed 1,300 coyotes, but everybody's seeing more than ever. And I really think that if we can get more money in it, keep the planes in the air more, it'll be better for the wildlife, better for the landowners, be better for everybody.
Yeah, and of course, with your indulgence, Mr. Chair, you know, the overall effort is to really focus on those guys, producers out there that have had ongoing efforts with depredation. Again, the program is not just to blanketly go out and kill coyotes. We really try and focus our efforts to get the biggest bang for our buck and really help those individual producers out. And it continues to work. We don't always get that coyote or pair of coyotes as quickly as we'd like sometimes, but by and large, I think we've been very successful over the years, and I think producers, and by and large, are very satisfied with the services that our staff have been providing.
Very good. Any other questions for
comments. Go ahead, yep. Commissioner Whitmer.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmer. Yeah, thank you, Emmett. Yeah, to staff that do all the hard work. I mean, that's especially when you talk about goose depredation, putting fence out along a slough in June. It's pretty brutal, and I do try to stop and thanks those folks when I see them on the neighboring lands, and nice. You know, because it is a rough job. But no, thank you. I'm reminded by Tom from time to time when we talk that other states don't, you know, go as far and help our producers the way we do. So that says a lot for South Dakota and the relationship that we've got with producers, and it's and we can all be proud of that too. But question on the beaver, is that just the removal of beaver that comes to that cost, or do we do some kind of damage, you know, to try to get the water flowing again in places, or what is all is behind that one?
Good question, through the chair and Commissioner Whitmire. One of the things that our staff don't do, we did provide this service at one time, was removal of the obstruction. We asked the landowner to work on that, you know, whether they need to get a backhoe out or those kinds of things. You know, at one time I think our staff even utilized explosives, which we don't use anymore, thank goodness. But the producer generally is the person that focuses on removing the dam. So once we get the damage stopped, you know, it's pretty easy to go out and knock a hole in there with a backhoe, or might even be able to reach you with a bucket off your tractor. But
yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else for Emmett on the report? Okay, that actually. Thank you. You.